Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
Welcome to the APC podcast feed. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm joined here by Tyler Brooks. Save us for the people, Tyler.
What's up, people? It's safety week. We did a lot of cramming, Justice. We did a lot of it.
I literally was watching film today after I delayed this podcast an extra day to buy myself time to watch even more film.
Good. The more the merrier. That's great.
Got the guys that I said I wanted to watch done. But before we get into safeties, we should talk about Aaron Rodgers. He has emerged. He was in Ashland, which I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ashland. Ashland is like kind of middle of nowhere. Their big thing is like Shakespeare Festival. It's very like, it's the people who are, it's like an entire city of people who are really into Harry Potter. That's the best way to explain it. All right. Rodgers came out of there. Haven't heard a damn thing out of him. He's not liking anything on Twitter, which he's usually doing. Didn't do the McAfee show, obviously. On Tuesday, they had a week off. I was joking with Tyler ahead of this because we're both going to end up going to the combine. So it's Tex. Come find us. Come drink with us. We'll probably have something in hand. There is a chaos scenario where Aaron Rodgers announces he's either retiring or coming back on the McAfee show, while Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, or Matt LaFleur, the head coach, are on the podium down there in Indianapolis at the scouting combine. What do we make of all this? Plus, you know, all the hashtag sourced stuff that's come out. You know, obviously Bob McGinn talked with Tyler Dunn for Go Long. He said that the team is disgusted with him. He thinks the team has moved on, all that stuff.
Just based on his gut feelings. That was what the source was, right?
It was interesting. I don't want to talk too bad about those guys. I like Dunn. Dunn's
a nice I like Dunn as well. Dunn's awesome.
But it's like an hour long podcast up on that site. Again, Go Long if you want to go check it out. It is behind a paywall. I paid for it. You don't have to. We're going to talk about it a little bit here. But if you want to go support, you know, journalism, go do that. It was kind of hazy between where McGinn's reporting and where his gut feeling, where that line in the sand was drawn, right? So does he think they're disgusted? I never think anyone's disgusted with anyone. That's never something I've assumed before. But then we've had supplementary reporting from guys like Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who said things like, you know, they want Aaron Rodgers to come back if he's all in. Which is an interesting qualifier once you start hearing all the stuff that's coming out, and they're like, they're not happy that he wasn't at OTAs with all these young receivers. Like, they didn't think he was all in. They didn't think he was working out in the offseason hard enough to keep his legs fresh, which I think he's kind of even admitted, like, his legs are kind of going a little bit, even in pressers last year and stuff. So what do we make of all this, Tyler?
What I really want to happen is for him to like make this decision with like a shaman, right? And the shaman be like, you know, your chakras and your auras. I think they're all pointing you to the New York Jets. Plus, they have a great defense, the salary cap space to handle your contract. Angel makes $60 million a year. And he'd be like, you know what? That's a good call, shaman. I'm going to do that. But in reality, dude, no one knows what he's doing. Like, we're just sitting here waiting and speculating wildly.
No one does. No one knows.
I don't even know if he knows yet. And I do think he is earnest that he really has no idea what he's doing. And he's taken some pretty creative measures to try and figure that out.
Well, the way that he's made it sound is, so before his trip, right, on the McAfee show, he said he was going to go to, now we know it's Ashland. That's, you know, it's been reported by ESPN and all that stuff. So he's going to go in Southern Oregon, hang out in a hobbit hole for 4 nights, emerge, hang out. I assume, you know, he's going to go, I think it's this weekend. He's going to do some sort of weekend trip, and then he's going to come back and, you know, it's basically deadline time. Like he said, he wasn't going to hold the team hostage ahead of free agency. If you don't know how the inner workings of the combine work, like, negotiations are really weird, right? So, like, technically, there is that weird period right before, what do they call it? Legal tampering in free agency, where you're allowed to talk to agents before clock strikes midnight and it's new league year. And now, you know, the players' contracts have expired, just so that everyone can have their kind of ducks in a row ready to go for free agency. So that, like, I just remember Ndamukong Suh and Mario Williams, you know, signing like at the strike of midnight or whatever, so that you have an opportunity to actually at least contact those agents. That process starts a lot earlier than that legal tampering period, and that actually begins at the combine. So, you know, Green Bay doesn't have a ton of cap space, but they're going to have to maximize what they do have. And if Aaron Rodgers does want buddies to come back or whatever, like, they're going to have to let these agents know. I mean, for the most part, like, there's basically like 5 really big agencies now. Like, you can't screw over an agency and like flat out lie to them, or you're cutting down your potential market moving forward as, you know, whoever you are as the contact point. So Green Bay's got to get that in line pretty quickly. I think the Jets are the most likely possibility.
Okay.
Just judging off of their actions, I do know this is fact. This is not Devontae level, not Darren Waller level, but I do know the Raiders are still poking around about the idea of Aaron Rodgers, even though I think their general manager just said on, I think it was Bussing with the Boys, you know, two former NFL, I guess former now, because Taylor Lewan just got cut. Two former NFL players host that podcast. I think he said on it that like the Raiders don't necessarily need like a 1-year solve at quarterback, which like kind of points to them not necessarily like breaking the bank for Aaron Rodgers, even though I think Devontae Adams would love it. Cause imagine if you're Devontae Adams, you got traded to Oakland or Las Vegas, they move away from Derek Carr and you're stuck with like Jarrett Stidham for a year. That sucks.
And if you're the Raiders, imagine having a disgruntled Devontae Adams in house, the guy you paid unbelievable amounts of money. So I imagine he has a little bit of sway in that organization right now.
Yeah. That's something I'm keeping an eye on, but I think the Jets, based off of their actions, their actual actions, where they're bringing in Derek Carr, they have him in for 2 days, right? He ends up, I think, canceling a visit to another team to hang out with the Jets for an extra day. There's reports that they were telling him, you know, we think you can be a Hall of Fame quarterback if you end your career with the Jets.
Which, first by
the
way, ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, by the way, doesn't sound like Zach Wilson is in their long-term you know, plans, even though Bob Salah, every press conference he gets up there, you haven't seen the last of Zach Wilson. I think we might have seen the last of Zach Wilson, guys. The fact that they're saying all those things, that they've showed that much interest in Carr, and they haven't made the move, right? Like, Carr is out there. Carr can sign with anyone right now. Like, someone gets in his ear, they can change his mind. I think they're more interested. And then obviously, you know, Hackett being there now as their OC, that's a pretty big deal. And then I think the price point would be something like a first and a third. And I thought it was interesting. I think it was Pelissero reported the Broncos gave up more for Russell Wilson, even though he was their second choice to come to Denver, than they would have offered for Aaron Rodgers. So don't think of the Russell Wilson trade. I think the number is a first and a third. Maybe it's that like third comes with conditionals that can become a second next year or whatever it is. But I think those are the numbers as of right now.
Yeah, I'll take it at this point. I just need it to be over, man. Can we be honest? Like, this offseason's dragging and it's 2 weeks long so far. And all we talk about is, where's Aaron Rodgers going to go? It's getting tiresome.
I did one. I understand the sentiment, because I can't get great sleep right now because I don't know what I'm going to be waking up to on the West Coast. I'm always worried about that anyway. And then I was looking, I can't remember what it was. I was on the Packers Reddit, which, by the way, pretty good conversations there in general. Seems like one of not as toxic as you would think Reddit would be at times. And someone was like, I'm just tired of hearing of it. Something needs to get done. And they're like, tagged the guy and was like, do you hear this? Joe Schmo is tired of this. You need to make a decision soon. And it's like, yeah, he doesn't care. He's not thinking about us. That's not what this is about. So
it's part of what we signed up for, covering this team.
Yep. Gut check right now. Do your best Bob McGinn impression. What do you think happens with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know why, and I have no, again, this is, I don't think this is based off any data or anything. I don't know why, but suddenly I've just gotten the weird feeling he retires. I don't know why. It's just giving me some weird vibes.
I kind of do too. I think if Vegas was pushing hard as an organization, and that does have to be an organizational decision, I'd be more convinced that he goes there. I think these leaks are obviously coming from somewhere, and Rodgers is going to look with a side eye at all of these leaks coming out. I don't think he discounts everything that comes reported by the media from you know, team sources and stuff like that, even though he pretends to. And then the Jets are just, it's tricky, man. I mean, all the stuff that we heard is he wants to get to the West Coast. He's spending the offseason in Malibu, all that stuff. And he's not showing up at OTAs. And now you're going to go to a new team with virtually no one that you have any chemistry with other than Nathaniel Hackett. You know, it's obviously a very talented team outside of the quarterback position. You're dealing with the New York media, which is, it's entirely different. Very few people are in that room in Green Bay. Anyone basically can get in that room in New York and ask him a question, right? And then I know you guys hate to hear about this stuff, but like the fact that the owner owns Johnson & Johnson, the same vaccine that he said he would not take, because that's the one that theoretically he wouldn't have been allergic to, right? That's how the vaccines work. It's like basically his claim is that he was allergic to basically like glycerin in a couple of the mRNA vaccines. And then they were like, well, you could take the Johnson & Johnson. And he was like, well, it had all these blood clot things. And then it was like five blood clots specifically in pregnant women. So like technically it wouldn't have impacted him playing underneath that. And then the fact that, like, I'm not saying he needs to be muzzled or anything like that, but the fact that he doesn't muzzle himself, like that's a major controversy just waiting to happen in the New York market, right? Like,
yeah.
Does he want to live that life? I don't know. Maybe he just wants to go in hobbit holes and just retire and say, you know, to hell with it. So that's just kind of what I'm thinking. I'd lean he's retiring too, but again, that's all gut feelings.
Yep. Just vibes.
Just vibes, baby. Speaking of vibes, we'll get into the vibes on the safety class right after this break. And we're back. All right, safety class. We watched these guys. The college film plug came in right on time. I think it was like the day after we recorded the Draft Talk 1.0, my plug came in and was like, hey, do you want like 1,000 college football games? And I was like, of course I do. I'm literally watching the safeties, which are probably one of the hardest positions to watch if you're trying to watch the broadcast view. So we got the coaches film on that. Again, just want to set the table again on the safety class and just like the safety position in general. Why are we talking about safeties, you know, first in this pecking order? It's because the Packers might need two of them. Adrian Amos is going to be a free agent. Rudy Ford is going to be a free agent. Darnell Savage was moved to in their nickel sets, so their base sets when they have four DBs out there, two corners, two safeties. He was playing safety at the end of the year, even though he was replaced for, I think, a week and a half by Rudy Ford. In their nickel sets at the end of the year, he was playing the slot. So they had Rudy Ford and Adrian Amos playing up top and then, you know, hit him inside. Savage is on a one-year deal. That's a contract that, you know, Archon at our site has talked about a lot. Like, that might be like trade a pick with Darnell Savage just to get out of his like $9 million get fully guaranteed fifth year option, right? Like that's potentially on the table this offseason. So we're talking about maybe three safeties that they need to replace. That's a lot of snaps.
That's a lot of safeties.
It's a lot of safeties. As far as draft history for Gutekunst, only guy he's taken above Tariq Carpenter, who was drafted in the seventh round this past year, was Darnell Savage at 21. I looked at like their not just who they've drafted, but who they've actually played to. So we're talking Darnell Savage, Tariq Carpenter. They drafted Vernon Scott out of TCU. Adrian Amos played for him, Rudy Ford, Ennis Gaines, Jonathan Abram, Micah Abernathy, and Henry Black, and just kind of like averaged out like height, weight, speed, all that stuff. Their averages, RAS, relative athletic score, so that's like a 0 to 10 sliding scale, right? The average at the position is 8.62, so pretty clearly like they're looking for more athletic guys. Average 40 time was a 4.46. Pretty good. 6'1¼" is the height, and then 207 pounds is the weight. They have gone after some smaller guys, right? Abernathy was 195. Henry Black's under 6 feet. Abram was under 6 feet. Rudy Ford under 6 feet. Savage was only Savage was 5'10 and change. You know, only he was also sub 200 pounds. I kind of think that this falls under as far as safety goes, like, I don't think they're going to look for a slow guy, right? And then as far as size goes, I don't think anyone's really that impacted in this class. Like, as long as you're above, like, 5'10", which is generally, like, where their cutoff is as a team, like, that's across, you know, safety, corner, wide receiver. Like, as long as you cross those bars, I think you're fine. So I think we're talking about a full slate here. I don't think anyone gets DQ'd just off of height, weight, speed in this class. I guess let's start at the top. Brian Branch, he's the top rated guy in this class. I'm going to be using the consensus draft board when we talk about this. Brian Branch is ranked 17th overall on it. I think he's a slot. I really do. I was looking at NFL.com yesterday just to, you know, one last gloss over to make sure I'm not missing anyone. Lance Zierlein works there. He does, you know, radio stuff in Houston on top of working for NFL.com. His dad was a long time, I think, offensive line coach in the league. He's really well connected. He usually gets some, like, quotes from executives and stuff like that on some of these players. He actually had Branch ranked as a corner.
Okay.
I don't think that's crazy, because I really don't think he's a safety. I was looking at PFF's draft guide, and they had like his 1,000 snaps or whatever he played this past season. Do you want to guess how many were played as a single high safety? Brian Branch.
How many snaps total did you say?
It was like 1,000.
I'm going to say like 60.
Five. He's not a safety.
No.
He's really not. He plays full-time slot for him. I think the physicality lacks a little bit, which is, I tweeted that out, and then people are in my mentions like, he missed 5 tackles his entire college career. I can show you 2 games where he misses more than 5. I don't know how they're calculating missed tackles, but like,
I found that very strange, some of the numbers I've seen on missed tackle rates, because you watch the film and you're like, these guys are really slow tacklers, and you go to Branch's actual tape, and even if it's not pure misses, sometimes he just kind of like slides off a guy.
Yeah, exactly. That's where it's like, all right, well, what are we calling a missed tackle then? Like, I don't know.
I do think he's still physical. I just don't think he's the best tackler.
I think he'd be.
I think that physicality.
I think if he moved to corner, he'd be really physical, you know, for a corner. But for what Green Bay looks for, right? I mean, there's basically like 3 roles that you can play as a safety, right? There's single high. Right. You're playing post safety. You're in the middle of the field. You're just trying to take that spot up, basically taking that stuff away. You could be a drop down guy. Right. Which is like more like Adrian Amos, if you use him ideally. Right. And then there's split high safety guys. And I think Branch would probably be better as a drop down guy, but he's like a coverage drop down guy. His coverage skills are there. Like he'll jump routes. He'll pick stuff off. You could watch the Kansas State game. He picks a ball off, doesn't play for like a quarter, and then comes back in and makes another play on the ball. And it's like, yeah, that guy probably should be playing in the slot or should be playing corner, but But that's not really what Green Bay is looking for. They're looking for those split high safety guys. They're going to be playing with a light box, and they need those safeties to rally to the ball and actually make a tackle.
Yeah.
I did an interesting look at just like yards given up at the safety position. By far, like cornerback, it's almost always yards before the catch, right?
Yep.
It's like not missed tackles. At safety, the overwhelming yards that you're giving up at safety is after the tackle. So something to think about. Like, they just need guys who are like solid at that spot. I mean, I think most people who watched the Packers defense last year probably thought the same thing, you know? The next guy on the list, and I think he is a true safety, Antonio Johnson out of Texas A&M. He's ranked 36th in the class. I split guys out into safety and in the slots. As far as true safeties, though, I ended up ranking him third. I know he's a big guy. He's a long guy. Everyone's going to be excited about him just in terms of the height and stuff. He comes from, like, I think he was like a 5-star recruit and all that. He has dealt with a couple injuries. I just didn't really see that with him. I saw a solid football player, definitely an NFL player. I'm not even sure if he's a starter, though, necessarily.
Yeah, I have him as safety 4, and I don't think that's any discount on like what you can project him to be, because, I mean, the measurables are there. Yeah. I think him and Branch are two guys that are going to test phenomenally well at the combine next week. But, yeah, there's just not that – what's that one thing that he does that makes him stand out among the rest of the safeties, right? Like, I think he does a lot of things, like, solid or well, but I don't think he has that one trait besides just being a tall – that makes him really stand out in this class. But yeah, he's my safety 4. How many guys did you watch, by the way?
I watched 8.
Okay.
I watched 8. Yeah, he was interesting. He's like an idea, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, sure, he could play special teams for you. Maybe he could develop into something. But as far as what you get out of him right away, I kind of think, you know, a lot of these draft rankings, especially pre-combine and even like way earlier, you know, in the season, like a lot of them are just based off of like who's been on the field at a big school, who was a big recruit, stuff like that. Maybe when we're talking about this safety class closer to the draft, people are like, yeah, Antonio Johnson's a 3rd-round pick. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's exactly where he should go, you know. But
it reminds me a lot of Trenton Simpson, the linebacker out of Clemson, right? Like a guy at the beginning of the year, ton of first round buzz. And then you watch him throughout the year and you know, super athletic, and you can see why people are excited about him. But on tape, it's just not as exciting as you'd think.
Yeah. The next guy on the list. So this is the 3rd ranked safety on the consensus draft board. He's actually my top true safety because, again, I'm calling Branch a slot. Chris Smith out of Georgia.
Yeah.
Oh my God, dude. Holy crap. I love this guy. So he's ranked 69th in the class. Nice. So we're talking about a borderline 2nd, 3rd round pick on most mock drafts right now. I was told by my buddy, Deontay Lee, who works for The Athletic. You know, I don't think anyone cares about DB play more than him. When I told him what I was looking for in the safety class, he was like, Chris Smith might be your guy. 100%, man.
Yeah.
He's blowing everything up from depth, has great foot speed, I thought, was pretty physical for like a quote-unquote like smaller guy. I think he took great angles to the ball, has good hips, has a good pedal, can erase a tight end even from depth, right? Like a tight end is running a drag, he's playing high safety, he'll just go and take it and outrun the guy. 6 interceptions in his college football career, SEC first team guy, and he was an All-American. Love him. Can't get enough of this guy. If you wanted to like write him in 2nd round pick right now for the Packers, I would be ecstatic. This guy in this draft class, which is again probably a weaker one, like this guy probably should go. If he was like 2 inches taller, he'd go in the 1st round.
Yeah, like I think that's totally valid. I mean, I'm sure you remembered him vaguely from that season opener against Oregon.
Sure do.
That was the first time I really got a good look at him, and I was blown away by that just decisiveness, ability to trigger downhill, and the explosiveness. Because like you know, he hits hard, but he's also just explosive as crap, no matter what, you know, role you're assigning to him. I think he's a very fun player. As far as just anything downsides I have, like, I think he times his hits well on deep throws to avoid like pass interference. I don't think he cheats his responsibilities. I'm not totally sold on his top end play speed. And I do think, you know, if he's in the slot, he can get cooked by more explosive, you know, deep threat guys. But, you know, that doesn't seem like the role that you'd put him in at the next level. And if you're looking for an Adrian Amos replacement or someone like that, I mean, it's hard not to get excited when you watch Chris Smith.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be playing like sub inside linebacker stuff in like dime or whatever.
No,
like Adrian Amos was. But as far as like true safety go, he's my guy in this class. He's 5'10 and a quarter, 188. Those are verified measurements from the Senior Bowl. Again, that's not that small. Like, that's pretty close to the range that Darnell Savage was. And Darnell Savage was taken in the first round by this team. Yeah. So again, like, he doesn't play small either. Like, he is a, you know, not the biggest guy in the world, but he doesn't play small. He's very violent. The one game that did give me a little pause was the Florida game. They had this wide receiver, number one, who just kind of bullied him a little bit. And that Florida team had a pretty good offensive line. That was the only game that I even saw a team really test the physicality of Chris Smith in any way where he wasn't just winning that every single time and like blowing stuff up in the backfield, like the Oregon game or anything like that. Love that guy. I need him on this team. You're going to hear me just banging the table all year.
I put branches as a safety just because, you know, whatever. I don't have it down to the specifics of roles and stuff, but Smith is my safety too.
Yeah. The next guy on the list is Jordan Battle, who is my second safety out of Alabama.
He's my third.
Yep.
There we go.
He's again, another one of those bigger guys. He actually played true safety in the Alabama defense, whereas Branch, you know, played that nickel role. He is more of like a drop down type of guy, but Alabama doesn't really do that a whole lot. Like, they do that in base. They play like cover three match. If you guys want to Google Rip Liz match, you guys can read about kind of how that scheme plays in base sets when there's only, you know, two corners on the field. But all their nickel stuff and their sub package stuff, it's a bunch of split high safety things. And, you know, Battles had to run with guys, and that hasn't been a problem for him in the past. He's a really physical guy. I don't think he's as explosive as Chris Smith is, but he definitely has more size. Like, if they could get Chris Smith and Jordan Battle to play next to each other,
yeah,
like, do it. Trade out of the first round. Get an extra second round pick, spend those two second round picks on Chris Smith and Jordan Battle. Let's move on and win some football games in 2023. That's how I'm feeling.
I think the things that differentiate Battle from Smith for me are, you know, size, obviously, along with length and play strength. Yeah. He does play more, stronger. I like the way that he engages blocks, keeps outside contained when there's a guy trying to bounce it to the outside. He does all those little things, like if there is a pile and the pile's kind of moving, he will fly in there and make sure there's no more forward progress, stuff like that. I just love a safety that's not afraid to get his nose a little dirty, and I think Battle checks a lot of those boxes for me. Like Smith, I'm not totally sold. I'm not actually not totally sold on his top-end play speed or anything like that. But yeah, the size and strength and length are all very appealing.
I think he's a tick slower than Smith.
Yeah.
Like, just a little bit. I do think ball skills might be an issue for him. Like, he's not going to be some sort of like pick artist or anything like that, but he's a chance at someone like, Hufanga, the safety from San Francisco, who's playing, you know, lights out right now, kind of one of those bigger guys. He's a chance at that. Yeah. The next guy on the list, Sidney Brown, he's ranked 81st on the consensus draft board out of Illinois. He actually has a twin brother in this draft class who's going to come in as a running back. You guys are probably going to hear a lot about them and, you know, his family and all that stuff on draft day. I want you to start talking about him because I want to keep my thoughts on him hidden for a second.
He misses a lot of tackles. I know we're going to talk about it at some point.
Okay. I'm glad we saw the same thing.
He's a football psycho, though, and like I really admire that. For a safety, he does I mean, they put him in the box a lot, but he's absolutely willing and capable as a guy in run support. He had the ball skill production, but it felt like it was just like a lot of really terrible plays last year from Big Ten quarterbacks. If you go and watch all six turnovers he had, I mean, some of those throws are just ill-advised or just horribly inaccurate and things like that. Yeah, I'm not totally sold on him as a full player. I have him as safety six in this group. But I just like a guy that's competitively tough, and he's pretty well built. What is he listed at currently? At the Senior Bowl or Shrine or wherever?
Yeah, he was at 5'10 flat, 213 pounds. So he's thick, short man. Stocky. Short stocky.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I didn't have many other notes. The missed tackles are a concern.
Yeah. And the missed tackles become more of a concern, you know, as, you know, to your point, you already mentioned this, but he was used as a drop down safety all the time. Yeah. I was watching the Wisconsin game, and he was basically playing in the box the entire time. Yep. And he's 213, but like he plays smaller than Chris Smith,
mm-hmm.
right? Like he might be the same weight as Jordan Battle. He doesn't play with the physicality of Jordan Battle. He doesn't.
And I think the other problem with those missed tackles is a lot of times with his gap or whatever, he gets so excited, he just over pursues the running back, and the running back cuts back on him, and he gets put in a tough spot.
He is a certified psycho. Like, yes. This guy,
that's
like,
why
he
I love
will,
him.
Yeah,
that's,
he is.
I still like him.
He will, like, yeah, you could send him on kamikaze missions, and he doesn't blink. You know what I mean? There was a who's the Wisconsin back? Everyone's gonna make fun of me for missing
Braylon Allen.
Braylon Allen. They sent him on a blitz right at Braylon Allen. And he went in so hard, but Braylon Allen just stuck him immediately in pass protection. And that's what I worry about this guy. I'm like, he plays like his hair's on fire, but like, is he going to be strong enough? Is he going to be fast enough? I don't know. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, he's a 5'10 safety who's dropping in the box a ton, and Green Bay's playing a bunch of split high safety. Like, does that, like, he doesn't seem like a scheme fit. He really doesn't to me. I have him in the same spot. Again, I watched eight safeties. I ranked sixth as actual safeties. I called two of them slots. Sidney Brown was my sixth safety out of all of them. So I guess we're a little lower on him than most people.
I had 14 safeties I watched. He is sixth for me. There's a significant teardrop for me after the first three or four. I don't know if we'll actually, I'll probably have to go back and talk about safety five after this, because I don't know where he's ranked on consensus boards.
Okay. Next guy on the list, Jamie Robinson from Florida State. This is the second guy I'm calling a slot. This is not a safety to me. He's ranked 84th on the consensus draft board. Just wasn't super impressed by what he was doing when he was a high safety. For a smaller guy, he doesn't really have that many traits. The way he does play really smart, and I do like his play in the slot a lot more. My buddy Griff, who covers the Seahawks, explained him like he looks like a 31-year-old who used to be really good at football.
Oh, like that, gosh.
Like he was comparing him to like a current stage Jimmy Ward, right? Like can get five starts a year, plays really good in the slot, but like probably isn't a full-time guy. That's kind of how I feel about him. What do you think about him?
Yeah, he's my safety nine. I watched 14 guys, and I like most of them. I don't love a lot of the guys, but I do like them. I do like the motor and aggressiveness. I think the play strength is surprising for a guy of his size. I don't think the tackling technique's great. I do think he can get caught creeping up in run support too often. I'm not sure about his sideline to sideline range, which where I think where you're talking about him as a potential slot guy makes a lot of sense, even if he did play all over. But I heard a bunch of guys are really high on him, and I watched him, and I just came away a little disappointed.
Yeah, he's not the biggest guy either. 5'10", three quarters as far as his height, 195 or 194 pounds as his weight verified at Senior Bowl, small hands under 9 inches. Relevant in Green Bay, though, again, because the way if Savage gets traded, I think that then opens a door for a guy like a Jamie Robinson to be able to be drafted even to play slot full time, right? Because Keyshawn hasn't been re-signed. There's teams that are re-signing guys like crazy,
right? I don't want to talk about that yet.
I know, ready. But he's the fourth. He's the fourth corner, right? And we could possibly be talking about Russell Douglas moving to safety potentially. That opens up a nickel spot, and that could be something that Robinson fits in and plays. But I just don't think he's a full-time starting safety in this league.
Let the record show, I'm not opposed to small safeties. Buda Baker is one of my favorite evaluations ever. This man is not Buda Baker.
Yeah. Chris Smith, again, on the smaller side, my favorite safety in this draft class. Next guy, second and last one that I've watched, J.L. Skinner from Boise State, number 89. Massive guy. I think he's like 6'4", like 220 or something like that.
6'4" and a quarter and 211.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I mean, big dude, and you could see it immediately. I kind of have him in the Antonio Johnson range. Like, they're kind of similar guys to me, and there's, for some reason, a 50-spot difference between where they're ranked. Like, Skinner, he's, like, graded as, like, a late third-round pick. Antonio Johnson's graded as an early second-rounder, and I'm like, these guys are just kind of, like, ideas. Like, I don't know what they do super well. Like, they're obviously willing tacklers and stuff like that, but I don't think they're super great at it, and then I don't know what their other plus traits are other than they're big and they're willing.
Yeah. I definitely was with that size, I would love to see Skinner just be an absolute game wrecker. I don't think he's as physical as I was like, but I'm also just picky with my physicality at this point.
I watched the BYU game and I was surprised because, you know,
I did not watch that one.
BYU is a big physical team. And I was like, all right, let's see him get after it. And there are a lot of times that he just kind of pulled up a little bit, and it's like, dang, dude.
I think the trait I enjoy the most that I caught a couple times is that he does have the mental processing to kind of have a feel for routes and start breaking on them. Even before, I saw at least one play where he starts breaking on a route even before the wide receiver gets into his route. So I think that mental processing is there. I think if he interviews really well with that size profile, and if he does test well, I mean, you're looking at a pretty solidified day two guy. I have him as safety 8.
Yeah, I think he's a day two guy too. Here's my hot take probably of the draft class. And I'd be interested in seeing, because I think I'm furthest off the consensus board with this guy. The last safety I watched, and my third ranked safety, Brandon Joseph, Notre Dame.
Okay, really? Okay.
Ranked 103rd on the consensus draft board. Just thought he could do everything. Didn't realize he transferred in from Northwestern, until I started checking his stuff out. Has a bunch of history, with ball skills and stuff like that. Did everything for Notre Dame. So, you know, most of these guys, right? Like, I guess we should talk about it with Skinner. Like, Skinner was a split high safety guy, right? Antonio Johnson is kind of a drop down guy. Sidney Brown was almost exclusively a drop down guy. Battle and Smith were both split high safety guys. Joseph was a guy that they moved around everywhere. They would have him split. They would have him, because he is a bigger guy, be the drop down guy. They would have him play post safety in the middle of the field. Like, I think he's like the glue guy in a secondary, just solid across the board, has some ball skills, is clearly a smart player. Like, you could see him again. He's first year in this Notre Dame system, which I guess, you know, they turned over coaches and stuff like that, even though the DC got promoted to head coach, but he's barking at the linebackers to make sure that they're getting the right spot. They basically didn't do, like, Ohio State wasn't able to get him, right? Like, they weren't able to expose him in ways that they expose other guys on that defense. I was pretty impressed. Like, that's a guy, man, I wouldn't blink if that guy went in the end of the second round. And again, he's ranked like a round and a half lower than that on consensus draft board right now.
Yeah, I mean, I have him as safety 11, and I think this is where the perception comes into play, or like how people study guys. I didn't get the opportunity to watch his all 22. I'm watching broadcast footage of him, so I definitely have different opinions on him just off that. But you can absolutely see the size and athletic profile, right? I wish I had gotten to go back and watch his Northwestern stuff, because I remember Northwestern fans were like really upset when he transferred because he was such a good player for them. So maybe I need to go back and watch that as well. I did see some maybe competitive toughness lapses or play strength things when he's taking a guy one-on-one. Again, I think I'm just being unfair with safeties. I think I just want all football players to be psychos like Sidney Brown, even if they miss some tackles. So maybe that I safety 11 for me. You might be able to sway me to go back and watch him again.
So that's how I have it. Okay. Again, my ranking, I'll go off of mine, and then I want you reading like your top 11, because I know there's guys that I missed. Haven't seen. I only ranked the guys I saw. So my guys at safety, it's Chris Smith, Jordan Battle from Alabama, Brandon Joseph from Notre Dame. I think those guys are the guys to me that are starters. Those guys, year one, they're starters. Get them on the field. Antonio Johnson from Texas A&M, J.L. Skinner from Boise State. Those guys, I think, are like ideas, right? Like, they're willing and they're big. Let's figure out what to do with them once they get into the NFL. Hopefully, they get good at something. Then Sidney Brown at Illinois. I just think he's a little small. I just think he's a little small, and I think that's going to kill him. And then the slots, I have Brian Branch out of Alabama, who I wouldn't discount him playing safety, frankly. And I know they're playing corner, and I know there's a good corner class, but like maybe someone does it. And then Jamie Robinson from Florida State, who, again, solid player. I think he's very smart. I think he's going to have to play in the slot at the next level. I don't think he's a full-time safety.
Cool. We covered almost all of my top 11. I think we're only missing two guys. So number one, I've got Brian Branch out of Alabama. Two, Chris Smith out of Georgia. Three, Jordan Battle out of Alabama. Antonio Johnson, number four, Texas A&M. Let's just stop here at number five. Jay Ward out of LSU. I watched this guy yesterday, since we had an extra day. I had watched him in the Florida State game in the opener, and I was like, man, this like senior safety guy is just like knocking people out. Just going through snaps, over 100 snaps a slot, outside corner, deep safety, box safety. So the versatility is just outrageous. 6'1", 186, 32-inch arms. A little lighter for a safety guy, but just I love his absolutely relentless demeanor. Like, he plays really hard, hits really hard. And then he has excellent movement skills. And when he's in man coverage, he does a good job of baiting quarterbacks as a deep safety with his eyes. I think three or four of his interceptions I watched over his career, just jumping around and getting in front of a guy. So like, all those skills are there. You could theoretically move him as well to cornerback, but I think with that versatility, the competitive toughness and the coverage skills, like, I've really liked this kid.
That's awesome. Here's what we'll do. I'll get the tape in the Dropbox, the Notre Dame tape. I'll throw it into the Dropbox. When we do the tight end episode, which probably won't be next week, to be honest, because, again, we're going to the combine. We're going to be busy. But the week after the combine, we'll talk about tight ends, the second biggest need voted by the APC readership in this offseason, unless, you know, Tonyan gets re-signed or something like that. And the first half, I'll watch Ward and report back. You watch Brandon Joseph out of Notre Dame and report back with the All-22, and we'll see how our notes compare. Because I feel like we're most in line on everyone but those guys. I haven't seen Ward, and you didn't get coach's film on Joseph. So
I like that. Maybe that's something we can do for every position. When we find those guys where we're different, we can recap the next week.
Sounds good.
Go back and revisit those differences. I'll just finish this off. 6, Sidney Brown out of Illinois. 7, Jair Brown out of Penn State.
I cut it off at Brandon Joseph. He was ranked 103, and then Jair Brown was the very next guy on the list. Just didn't watch him, to be frank.
So at our high school that I coach at, we had a recent coach that's now working at Penn State, and he told me that I really needed to watch this guy. Described him as like not only a captain on the defense, but just an overall leader on the team. Came away with him just like, you talk about a deep safety guy with rangy ball skills, stuff like that. So I was impressed with him, came away as safety 7. Then I got Skinner at 8, Robinson at 9, Rashad Torrance out of Florida at 10, and then Joseph at 11, Hickman at 12 out of Iowa State, another Florida safety trading at 13, and then Jartavius Martin out of Illinois last.
Yeah, he was the deep safety. I don't know. Yeah. I got a couple looks at him, but Wisconsin, that I was most paying attention to that Wisconsin game. Wisconsin wasn't throwing the ball over the field, so I don't know if I can make a great evaluation of him. I will say DeMarco Helms, He's on the consensus draft board. It looks like he's going to be a draft pick. Got invited to the combine. Went to the Senior Bowl. I don't think he's an NFL player. I think you can turn
what school?
Alabama. He's the other true safety who played next to Jordan Battle, number two. Jersey number two. If you watch the Tennessee game on the All 22, they're going at him every single time. And they just basically said, like, this dude can't run. Let's max splits. Let's switch release our wide receivers and just run deep routes. And his legs are not going to be there. And he was getting dunked on left and right. And it's like, that guy, like, if you're lower on the depth chart as a safety in the NFL, you have to be able to play special teams, yeah. Which then says, like, you have to have some sort of, like, athleticism to make the roster. Dude, I just don't think, like, Helms might just be a practice player that you bring in to, like, simulate a drop-down safety if that just you don't have one on the roster. Like, I kind of just think that's his role.
That reminds me a lot of the Florida safety, Trey Dean. So this guy had 13th, because everyone's talking about how big he is and how he's going to, like, shatter bench press records and things like that. But in the Tennessee game against Florida, they put guys in motion at him, and he just gets completely confused by his checks and just lets guys get deep behind him. And they picked on him, like, multiple times in that game.
Oh, man. Well, I'll add Brown to the list, too. So I'll watch Brown and Ward for our tight end show, which, again, will be in 2 weeks because we'll have you covered for the combine. I think we talked about it today. You, me, and Tex, we're going to do daily episodes while we're down there. See what kind of fun and trouble we can get into. And then you rewatch Brandon Joseph. I'll throw a couple games in that Dropbox.
Sounds fantastic. And we'll be meeting in person for the first time in my neck of the woods. It's only a 30-minute drive
for me. I'm coming to you.
This is exciting, man. Elmo, yeah, we're taking you to Harry and Izzy's because St. Elmo's was booked. Not surprised. Shrimp cocktail, we've already discussed. You're going to have to try that. And then my new favorite thing the last time I was there, Elmo Colas, which are just signature brand whiskey cokes by St. Elmo's, and they are delicious.
Okay, I could take down some whiskey cokes. I've been known to take down some whiskey cokes anyway. Yeah, first combine. Did the All-Star game stuff a lot. Never went to the combine.
Wait, you've never done the combine? Okay.
Never once.
This is exciting.
And I've been down to Mobile and done the Shrine game and stuff like that. Even when I was with the XFL, we didn't go to the combine. Yeah, I don't know why. I think I I already saw all my buddies, you know, in coaching and in media already. So why do I need to go to the combine? It's the same thing. Awesome. We got a position done. Chris Smith. This is one last thing I want to talk about.
How much you love Chris Smith again? Let's do
it. Because I have written a couple things on the site about the wide receivers. And one of the first comments that I get, because I always mention, you know, their height and stuff like that, and how Green Bay's been, or not so much height, but like weight, and how specific Green Bay's kind of like measurable preference is. And I say preference because they do break rules, right? Like they took Jair in the first round. I know they liked Olave last year and he wasn't a 200-pound wide receiver, but those guys are more exceptions to rules than anything. Tyler just put his head on the desk because he's so sad that we liked Olave.
We wanted him
the
so
Saints
much.
Gave up everything for Olave. Like you can't blame him.
It was the right call.
It was. But what I wanted to say is fans are like, and I don't mean this in a negative way, like maybe they just don't understand the process, but when you're building out a draft board, your draft board isn't 500 people long when you're doing this on the team level, right? Yeah. When you're doing this on the team level, you're looking at what type of a guy do we want? And those are the guys that we're targeting and adding. You can look up, I think the Cowboys draft board has leaked like 5 different times because Jerry Jones will just like show it in front of a camera, like on day 3 of the draft, like after the draft. They're like 150 players long. And that's including guys at the tail end that they have draftable grades on that end up going undrafted. Like, I think there was one year, like the Cowboys didn't have Eric Armstead on their board. That's a first round pick, just not on their board. That happens. Yeah. That happens.
I think that's why I enjoy what we're doing with these weekly ones, especially once the combine's over. I think it puts us in the view or like the lens of watching these guys from a Packers perspective and right. building out our theoretical Packers board. And maybe once we're done with this little project, we put together a Packers board and share it with the people.
That's what I was going to say. So let's do this exercise on the way out. If we had to put three guys at this position on a board and just say, you know, this is where the consensus draft board has them going, right? Or where the general public has them going. Which guys do we want to target at those spots?
Well, we know two of them.
It's Chris Smith and Jordan Battle, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The third one's tough.
We're locked in. To me, it's Joseph. I think Joseph would be my third, and I'd fight for it.
I don't have a strong opinion on a third. I mean, based on where he's on the consensus, I think I'd argue Rashad Torrance, but like, I mean, he's not
I haven't seen him either.
He's like probably a day three guy, and I'm not super excited about that.
Okay. So we can hang our hat on Chris Smith and Jordan Battle then.
And then
those are our guys.
Maybe this is the debate where Jay Ward and Brandon Joseph comes in, and we're going to have to present our cases in a couple weeks.
All right. 2 weeks. I'll get you. Perfect. Thanks for the time, Tyler, again.
Of course. It's nice watching hours and hours and hours on players and finally getting to share all this information.
Yeah. Go Pack Go. Hopefully Aaron makes a decision soon.